Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to this RTC Weekly Download. This time we have a AFRTS theme, that's the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. We're going to concentrate on the radio part, of course, and we'll have two shows. We're going to start off with a program called GI Journal. It's kind of a variety show. It features Abbott and Costello, Jane Wyman, and the Pied Pipers. From September 15th, 1944, here's G.I. Journal.
The G.I. Journal goes to press.
G.I. Journal. It's G.I. Journal.
Editor-in-Chief Bud Abbott speaking.
A newspaper. You're so stupid.
Ah, what are you? I'm stupid.
You're stupid.
Did you ever go to school stupid?
Yes, sir. And I come out the same way.
All right. Look, just a minute. Now, we can't both be editors.
No, of course not.
One of us has to tell the other what to do. Now, sure. Can you tell me what to do?
Boy, I'll say I can.
No. One of us has to give orders, and naturally, I'm the man for that job.
Well, who are you to give orders? What do you think you are, PFC?
Oh, look.
I mean, if you are a PFC,
all right.
You can be broke.
All right, never mind. Look, I'll tell you what we do. Let's compromise.
Okay, we'll compromise.
All right, I'll be the editor, and you be the copy boy. How's that?
That's no compromise. That's a frame-up.
What's wrong with that?
Well, they're
practically the same position.
They are, huh? Who gets more money, the editor or the copy boy?
Oh, they practically get the same.
There he goes with that practically again.
Well, we each get 50 a week. That's fair, isn't it?
We each get 50 a week?
Yes.
Then what do you mean? The salaries are practically the same?
Well, you aren't going to worry about a little decimal point. Yours, are you?
Somebody's got to worry about it.
Well, now,
my relatives ain't.
No, I understand. Take it easy.
I can see you ain't gonna.
No.
And do you call that fair? You get $50 a week? I mean, after all, and I get 50 cents?
No, don't be mercenary, Costello.
Don't be what?
Don't be mercenary.
I'm not mercenary.
Well, never mind that.
I mean, I don't even know who the girl is.
Never mind that. Look, we'll work out the salary deal later.
Okay.
Now, we've got a paper to get out. Now, get to work.
Okay, what do I do?
Well, empty the waste paper basket.
And what do you do?
Oh, I'm the editor.
Oh, you fill them, huh? Oh, no. You be the copy boy and I'll be the editor.
No, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll compromise.
Compromise?
Yes.
Here's where I get it in the puss again.
This week, I'll be the editor and you be the copy boy. But next week, I'll be the editor and you be the copy boy.
There's something wrong with that somewhere.
Now, don't be silly.
What do you think I am, a moron? Don't answer that.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll tell you how we'll compromise, this guy. This week, you'll be the editor and I'll be the copy boy.
And?
But next week, I'll be the copy boy and you'll be the editor. Yeah.
Okay, that's a deal.
Thought you could put one over on me, eh?
We'll be back in the editor's office just as soon as we make a musical deadline for the exec post gang in France and for the boys of the 36th. And here are the Pied Pipers with June Hutton.
You make me feel so grand. I want to give the whole wide world to you. dreams, I'm dreaming schemes, I'm scheming. Now I know why Mama taught me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you.
Gene Wyman. Miss Wyman, this is my colleague, Mr. Costello. Mr. Costello, Miss Wyman.
How do you do, Mr. Costello?
Let's mix.
Hey, Costello. Costello. That's no way to talk to a lady, and I'll apologize.
Okay, I'm sorry I asked you to mix with me. Miss Wyman, I should have just grabbed
you. Don't mind him, Jane. Well, are you all set to start working?
Oh, yes. I have my pencils all sharpened and my pad ready. You can begin dictating any time.
Now, wait a minute. Are you going to be his secretary?
Well, yes.
Do you mean to say you'd sit on that guy's lap when you can sit on mine?
Why, Mr. Costello, I wouldn't sit on your lap if you could find it.
Well, that settles it. I ain't working here unless I get a secretary.
Oh, now, Costello, be reasonable.
Oh, sure. You should be happy and I should be reasonable. Do I get a secretary or don't I?
No.
Abbott, I hate you. Why, you...
No. Now.
What's the worst thing I can call you? I got it. Why, you G.I. Coffee, you...
No. No, not that, Costello. Not that.
Well, maybe I can help you out with this problem, boys. Why don't you kind of divide me up and let me be secretary to each of you?
No, that's a good idea, Costello. You take her in the morning and I'll take her in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah? I'm on to you, wise guy.
Now what's the matter?
I get her when she's fresh. And you get her when she's too tired to run any further.
Just to satisfy you, I'll get you a secretary.
Now you're talking. I gotta have a secretary.
But now listen. She's a very competent girl.
Oh, good.
Knows Pittman and Craig and can type 50 words a minute.
Who cares? What do you think I want her for? My secretary?
Yeah.
I just want a secretary.
I'll call her. She's right in the next office.
Oh, you will? Good. Boy, let's go. Come on.
Now, remember, she's a delicate, sensitive little flower, Costello.
No kidding.
Yes, she's very frail. So don't do anything that will upset her.
Well, Wick, what are you jerks rang that buzzer?
Hey, Abbott, this is the dame I shouldn't upset?
Yes.
I couldn't upset her with a bulldozer.
Hurry up. I haven't got all day. I got another job at the shipyard, pushing boats into the water.
You certainly got the keel for it.
Miss Lurp, this is your new employer, Mr. Costello.
How do you do, Mr. Costello? And before we start work, let's have an understanding between employer and employee. If you got anything to say to me, don't beat around the bush. Come right out and say it.
Well?
Shut up. I don't go for this chivalry business. When you speak to me, I want you to speak man to man.
Okay, have a cigar.
Thanks, got a match?
Here. Don't scratch it on the seat of your...
Costello!
All right, let's get to work. Take a letter, Costello.
Oh, I should
take... You heard me. Sit on my lap.
Now, listen here.
Sit down!
Yes, sir. Hey, Abbott, get me to the steam. I'm telling you, will you?
Now, don't be silly, Costello. She's a very efficient secretary.
I certainly am. I've been typing since I was 16.
When you were 16, they didn't type letters. They chiseled out stone tablets.
You can't talk to me like that.
No, I did it.
Now, listen. Before I start work, I've got to have some chewing gum. Costello, run down to the drugstore and get me a pack.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be boss here.
You heard what I said. Now get going before I throw you through that window.
I'm not going to get you any chewing gum, and I would like to see you throw me through that window. Hey, kid! What do you want, spirit or juicy fruit?
Thank you.
It's Journal's musical editor, Master Sergeant Harry Bluestone, with the band of the Army Air Forces Training Command, putting their byline on a tuneful feature for Privates Lockett, Robinson, and Daniels, and Sergeant Miller and New at 689. And also the guys in the Fearless Fosdick crew at 403. Come out wherever you are.
Such a tough job. You know, Abbott, I'm a sick man.
Oh, sick. Why, you look as healthy as I do.
I do? Then I'm worse than I thought I was. No kidding, Abbott. I'm sick.
You are not.
Yes, I am. I'm awfully sick.
Well, what makes you think so?
I got one of the worst symptoms there is.
What's that?
My cigarettes taste different lately.
Well, wait a minute. You don't look so good at that. Maybe you ought to see a doctor.
You're right. That's what I need, a doctor. That's what I need.
Wait a minute. I'll get it. You take it easy.
Hello. Who are you? Well, I'm a general. I'm a major, Captain Lieutenant Sergeant, Private Sad Sack.
Sad Sack?
Yeah, that's somewhere between 4F and KP.
Well, what outfit are you with, Sack?
Oh, I just got transferred to the Marine Medical Corps.
Wait a minute. What are you doing in the medical corps?
Oh, I'm a big physician. I'm the head surgeon. I run the whole hospital. I carry pants.
Well, this is an emergency, Doc. We've got a very, very sick man here. Right this way.
But I'm not really a doctor.
Well, my secretary will act as your nurse.
But I'm not really a doctor.
Hello. I'm the secretary.
I'm one of the Mayo brothers.
The patient is right here, Doc. How do you feel, Costello?
Terrible, Abbott, terrible. Look at me shake. My nerves are shot.
Well, this is Dr. Sack. He'll calm your nerves.
Get him out of here, Abbott!
You see, Doc, he's all excited. Do you think you can quiet him down?
Oh, sure. I'll give him a sedative. I'll administer a shot of me. I'll give him a shot of me. I'll nail him to the floor.
I'm telling you, Abbott, get this guy out of here.
Well, maybe you better take his pulse, Doctor. Have you got your watch?
Oh, sure.
Say, that's a nice watch. Where'd you get it?
Well, you see, I saved up all my I earned some money delivering packages. I have a piggy. I made a six the hard way.
Get this guy out of here!
Now, Mr. Costello, you just lie still and I'll stroke your head.
No, I don't want to. You will?
Do you mind if I run my fingers through your hair?
I don't mind if you walk through it in your bare feet.
You don't...
Take your shoes off!
Why, Mr. Costello, how you shout. You don't need a doctor for what's wrong with you, really. I can cure you myself if you'll just let me give you a treatment.
Well, I think that the...
Abbott, don't think. Abbott, will you please get this guy out of here?
Now hold still, Mr. Costello. All you need is a big kiss.
How do you feel now, Costello?
I'm cured.
Well, what's the matter, doctor?
I'm sick.
Well, Jane seems to have cured Costello.
Why don't you try the same treatment? you catch on quick, don't you?
Yeah, sure fixed me up. Go ahead. Are you ready, Doc?
Oh, sure.
How do you feel now, Doc?
Oh, yes, yes, swell. And now can I try it with a girl?
For G.I. Journal's original Song of the Week. So we turn to our new copy girl in the vocal pinup department, Pat Friday. Every week, Pat sings a song dreamed up overseas and mailed into the G.I. Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Incidentally, if you've written a song you'd like to hear Pat sing, just send it into G.I. Journal, if you please. And if you can't write the music but do have some lyrics for a song, send them along too, because we'll have the music composed for you. Now, tonight's song, Evacuating Blues, is dedicated to the Japs who really have them. It was written not by one man, but by a whole band, the 164th Infantry Front Linesmen, a dance band who collaborated on a tune while entertaining Bougainville's GIs nightly in jungle areas only a long brassy shot from the front. And here's to congratulate you, Bougainville Front Linesmen, and sing your song back to you. It's Pat Friday, boys!
Listen to my story, you've got nothing to lose. Things have gotten too rough, Joe, and they've decided to blow. The nippy will chase to some other place other than Boogie Woogie Bougainville. The Jap got the blues, the evacuating blues. Well, what do you know? This is where we expected to go. Now that we're here, you have nothing to fear. The Nips are worried for real, and they're beginning to steal right out of Boogie Woogie Bougainville. And then our job is done. Boogie Bougainville. Ride from Boogie Woogie Bougainville.
Howdy! Oh, that was swell. And congratulations to the 164th Infantry Front Linesman.
Say, Jane, it's time to proof our honor page in G.I. Journal's Reporter of the Week.
Coming right up, Harry. Fellas, if you're proud of your outfit, why not crack G.I. Journal as one of our overseas correspondents? Write up a story on your outfit and mail it to G.I. Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. This week's thanks for a good report goes to Private Harvey Flammer, who is stationed overseas with a tank destroyer company and who reports on the job his outfit is doing.
Well, one thing I've learned since I've been over here is that just because we're called tank destroyers, it doesn't mean that we fight only tanks. That's our first job, of course, but we've been doing a lot of other things, too. Things like blasting pillboxes, working with the advanced units when a town is being taken, and helping them root out any snipers hiding in the buildings. Even working with the field artillery doing indirect firing. With the firepower we have and the different kinds of equipment we use, there's lots of ways we're able to help out other outfits. When we're done taking care of enemy armor, we just look around to see if there's any other jobs we can do. We don't get much chance to get bored. So how about some recognition for the TDs who really seek, strike, and destroy?
For the Panthers on the prowl as the big guns howl, we'll find their tanks and blast them where they hide. And when we strike, it's Lord help the guys inside. Team strike, destroy, when the men of the TD command.
Well, you know, we've received a flock of requests from you overseas subscribers to have G.I. Journal reprint Abbott and Costello's famous baseball routine. So, now here we find Editor Bud Abbott in conference with the head of our sport department, Mr. Lou Costello.
Now, look, what do you want?
Now, look, I mean, after all, if I'm the head of the sport department, I got to know the baseball players' names.
Oh.
I mean, and I got to know the teams that's playing and everything
well,
else.
Well, naturally, I'll...
Well, that one team that's playing here this week, do you know the guys' names?
Oh, sure.
Then you go ahead and tell me some of their names.
Well, I'll introduce you to the boys. You know, strange it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
Give me funny names.
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
Butter Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their cousin.
Who are you?
Goofy.
Goofy, huh? Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the fellow that knows all the players?
I certainly.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean, the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Now, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a contract with the first baseman?
Absolutely.
Who signed the contract?
Well, naturally. No good unless he signed it.
No good unless who signed it?
No.
So who signed it?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Absolutely. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't twitch him around. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking about... Let's get this thing straight.
Now, how did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mentioned a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Never mind first. I want to know what's the guy's name on third.
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go.
Third.
Well, I can't take that name.
Will you please stay on third base and don't go off it?
What is it you
now,
want?
Now, who's playing third base?
Now, why do you insist on putting who on third base?
Now, who am I putting over there?
Yes, but we don't want him there.
What's the guy's name belongs on third?
What belongs on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Oh, yes, yes.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing
stay
first?
Stay out of the infield!
Don't mention that name.
I want to know what's the left fielder's name.
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. You know these players as well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on a team?
Now, wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first.
Go ahead, have it your own.
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got a catcher?
Well, absolutely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. Tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on a team.
I can't help that.
You know, I'm a catcher, too.
I know that.
Now I'll get behind a plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and they're heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Tomorrow throws the ball, the guy up busts the ball. When he busts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to catch it. Now, who caught it?
Naturally.
Who caught it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's right. Now we're done.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
You don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying it that way.
I said I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say that.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same as you. I throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
He better have it.
Now, that's it.
Now, I throw the ball and naturally. Whoever it is drops the ball, so the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball and throws to what? What throws to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be called. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What was that?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
It is.
That's all for this edition, folks. Thanks to Jane Wyman for being my secretary, and also Verna Felton for a swell performance as Miss Slurb, and Mel Blanc as Private Sad Sack.
Come on! 1, 2, 3, 105!
Wait a minute, Costello. Quit playing soldier a minute and tell me what this 105 business is.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
I was adding up the dough I've got saved in soldiers' deposits.
Oh, come on, get out of here. But look, men, Costello really has something there. You two can save up your pay and talk back to your sergeant.
And then, kids, while doing KP, you can plan on how to spend your savings after the war.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you're right. You'll need a list of things as long as your arm when they bust you back to a civilian.
Now, look. See your first sergeant or company clerk and work out a personal savings plan.
That's the idea.
And do it today.
That's right. Now, till the next time you hear Costello say,
hey!
This is Abbott and Costello signing off.
So long, man.
This is Harry Mitchell reminding you to write us about your outfit, gang, and also send along a joke or a gag for Abbott and Costello, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Kay Kaiser, lovely Jane Wyman, or Linda Darnell. It's G.I. Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's the GI Journal from September 15th, 1944. We're continuing with Armed Forces Radio. In this week's program, we will have an episode of Flair, starring Dick Van Dyke. This is a daytime radio show, and it's from 1961.
Hi, Dick Van Dyke again. Do you know who Mad Dog Middlecoff is? Public Enemy number 3. Now we're going to give you the old one, too. Wayne and Schuster.
When the wind comes up and the sky grows black, as in Noah's time it used to, the farmers have a saying and it goes like this.
It really looks rather like Wayne and Schuster.
We're very happy to welcome to our Flair microphone one of the distinguished criminals of our time, Public Enemy number 3, Mad Dog Middlecoff. Hello there, Mad Dog.
Hi.
Mad Dog, the reason we've come to your hideout to interview you is because there's a rumor around town that you are planning to give yourself up.
That is correct. I'm toying with the idea, but I ain't decided how I'm going to do it.
Well, now, what do you mean, how?
Well, you must have read about them criminals that surrendered a few months ago. One of them surrendered to the Daily Mirror, another one surrendered to the Daily News.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, it's okay for them guys, but for a guy with my standing, I'm number 3, you know.
Yes, I know.
I could never surrender to a newspaper.
Oh?
It would have to be a magazine, at least.
You would surrender to a magazine?
Not just any magazine. It would have to be a prestige magazine like the Saturday Review of Literature or the Atlantic Monthly, you know.
I see. Some criminals have surrendered to Walter Winchell.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking Walter, but if I'm going to surrender, it would have to be Clifton Fadiman, Louis Cronenberger, Gilbert Seldes, John Mason Brown, in a pinch, Bennett Cerf, but that's as far as I'll go.
Well, is there a feeling in the underworld that surrendering to a daily paper is dangerous? Classe A?
Well, there's a feeling you can't go out and just surrender to any paper.
I see.
There's a question of editorial policy, political orientation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if a guy's been a Democrat all his life, he's certainly not going to surrender to a Republican newspaper.
Of course. Well, have you ever thought of surrendering to some other medium?
What do you mean?
Well, there's radio, there's television, there's the record business.
Well, radio and television's out of the question, because if I go on, the FBI can insist on equal time.
I see. Well, that leaves the record business.
Are you kidding? How do you think I got to be Public Enemy number 3?
Gourmet, thou swell.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, both thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. So rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of not a lot of land, and thou swell, thou witty, thou
Here's Martin Gable reading Meeting at Night.
Oh, come all ye lovers of classic lore, of legend, tale, and rhyme. Gather round and give attentive ear. It's that once upon a time.
This is Martin Gable. The romance between Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett is one of the most famous in literature. And this poem records a clandestine meeting of theirs. Meeting at night, Robert Browning. The gray sea and the long black land, and the yellow half moon large and low, and the startled little waves that leap in fiery ringlets from their sleep, as I gain the cove with pushing prow and quench its speed i' the slushy sand. Then a mile of warm sea-scented beach, 3 fields to cross till a farm appears, a tap at the pane, the quick, sharp scratch and blue spurt of a lighted match, and a voice less loud through its joys and fears than the 2 hearts beating each to each.
Sings, I could write a book. It may not be another Peyton Place, but it's as close as he could steal it.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make 2 lovers a friend. If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make 2 lovers a friend.
Robert stirred a vent on flare
with Paris in the air, with
anything that's new, la 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 la.
Or anything, ooh la la la, ooh la la la.
On the basis of early returns, the Paris fashion industry once more is setting the pace. The world's buyers are here with heavy American representation, no matter what New York's 7th Avenue fashion moguls may think of Parisian ideas. And there are plenty of ideas, plus new and fancy twists on old themes. The early sensation is Nina Ricci's effort to turn women back to the flapper era, and the betting is that it will stick, at least for the younger people. Because to wear a smokestack with a sharp flare at the bottom requires the figure of a reed and better than ordinary height. But for those ladies who don't qualify on this score, the Paris designers still have lots to offer. For example, Antonio Castillo of the House of Lanvin is celebrating his 10th year in Paris with a new mode he calls the diamond look or the triangle look. It starts with very broad shoulders and moves to a closely nipped-in waist by way of kimono sleeves. In fact, Señor Castillo has put kimono sleeves on everything, dresses, coats, suits, and evening gowns. It's a pleasing merger of East and West, a Cold War effect that the world's politicians might copy. Pierre Balmain, of course, is still good old solid Pierre. His specialty is the luxury fashion, the magnificently made and fitted creations which always draw some of the world's most soigné women. But even Balmain seems to give in partially to the flapper. His models have their hair cut short. This is Robert Sturdivant in Paris.
Child doesn't like to practice the piano, do what Dr. Frankenstein did for Boris Karloff. Give him an ear for music.
Rock-a-bye, baby, get a grip on your chair, 'cause here's Boris Karloff for you now on Flair.
memorandum is dedicated to all the mothers in the group whose living rooms echo with the notes of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Mary Had a Little Lamb, Ba, Ba, Black Sheep, and other classics from the beginning piano player's repertoire. The message is simply, don't, if you want your child to like music, don't put the pressure for practicing on too hard. The whole point in piano lessons is to enhance a child's appreciation of music, and in the view of the experts on such matters, rigorous rules about practicing are likely to accomplish just the opposite. Music becomes not something to enjoy, but something to be endured. The musical instrument becomes not a happy means of self-expression, but, as one psychologist put it, the symbol of parental demands. The recommended course of action is to let the youngster proceed at his own speed, with friendly parental encouragement, but without strong parental pressure. That way, your fumbling bar-bar black sheep may one day develop into a pleasant Brahms lullaby. And when your youngster grows up, he'll think of a concert as something to enjoy, not as a form of excruciating punishment.
This is Dick Van Dyke, the barefoot bridegroom. You know, I've noticed that by the time the average guy decides to settle down and raise a family, his wife's already been married for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, a guy with a few wild oats still left in him likes to take his time about sowing them. And one of the best antidotes is to get him inside his church or temple. I'm serious. Religious faith strengthens the bonds that hold any family together, and a fellow who goes to church with his family on a regular basis is really stronger morally than the next guy, and spiritually too, of course. Religious education and devotion gives youngsters a solid foundation for a moral character, too. And this way, it's a major weapon in fighting delinquency. In your personal life and in your community life, nothing is more important than sharing your religious faith and going to your place of worship every week with your whole family. Religious freedom wasn't won easily, you know, so don't take it for granted. Go to your church or temple this week. It can't hurt, and it might be a lot of help. In the words of General Custer, life is just a bowl of Cherokees.
Raven and warrior, since first I met you, I can't forget you, Cherokee sweetheart. Child of the prairie, your love keeps calling, my heart enthralling, you Cherokee.
Now it's time for Betty Walker to go on. And on, and on, and on.
Here comes Betty Walker, be prepared to smile at the sound of the dial tone. Yes, Betty Walker, marathon talker, talkative bell of the telephone.
Hello, yes, this is she. She's speaking, yeah. Oh, you looking for Seal? Oh, no, my friend Seal left just about 5 minutes ago. Who is this? Who? Oh, Hazel. How are you, Hazel? Of course I remember you. Please, how can I forget you? Aren't you the one, Hazel, whose little girl only speaks in 4 and 6 syllable words? Of course. Oh, I was very impressed. Yes. Excuse me? How am I? Sanguine. Very sanguine today. Oh, I'm sure you know the meaning of that. It has a Greek origin. Yes. Sanguine meaning blood root. Yes. Thank you. Excuse me? Well, Hazel, Seal asked me not to tell anybody where she went, you know. Yes, just a second. Children! Children! Impart yourself from that excavation immediately! And just deny that facetious look on your face! Hello, Hazel? Oh, they know what I'm saying, yes. Well, I'll tell you what it's about, you know. You know, Seal got a ticket in her car a few weeks ago. And Seal, instead of just paying the fine, she decided to be a real Porsche. Yeah, so when she got in the front of the judge, she was foolish enough to say guilty with an explanation. Yeah. Hazel, the explanation is what killed her. Yeah. So they went down now to try and get her license back. Okay. Well, good conversing. Okay, Hazel. Bye.
I live on the Kamikaze label.
Baby, I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life is long enough, baby, but I can love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I'd want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day and see the doctor anyway. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life is long enough, but maybe I can love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I'd want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I'll even wear long underwear when winter breezes blow. I'm going to take good care of me, because a sneeze or two might mean the blue, and that would never do. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as I live.
Basin Street, the only street with hot and cold running blues.
Why don't you come along with me to the Mississippi? We'll take a boat to the land of dreams and steam down the river down in New Orleans. You know the band there to meet us. Oh, friends to greet us. Where all the light and dark folk meet, away down yonder, down on Basin Street. Let me tell you about that Basin Street. It's the street where the Eli always meet in New Orleans, land of dreams. You'll never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. I'm glad to be, yes sirree, welcome spring and dear to me. That's why I can lose these Basin Street blues. Ah, that's why I can lose these Basin Street blues.
And now here's Dr. Rose Franzblau.
Love is a question of time and finesse. Romance is a matter of no or of yes.
But marriage is sure as a checkmate in chess.
So listen with care to counsel from Flair.
This is Dr. Rose Franzblau speaking for Flair. Who among us hasn't heard the following complaint about mothers-in-law?
My mother-in-law is a very nice person, but she's always telling me what to do and trying to help around the house. If it weren't for the children who love her, I could explode.
Let's admit to begin with that mothers-in-law, like mothers, can be very annoying when they come up with unsolicited suggestions and advice. They really mean to be helpful, and also they want to be shown the respect of being the elder who has had great experience and knows her way around the world. By the attitude of the children to the mother-in-law, one can very often estimate what kind of a woman the mother-in-law really is. When the mother-in-law becomes a grandparent, she ceases to be a nuisance and becomes the beloved, bountiful, good, sweet lady in the household. Perhaps if a daughter-in-law could see her mother-in-law through the eyes of her children, she would be more patient with this mother-in-law, who, to the children, is a mother in love, not a mother-in-law.
Here are some facts you may not have known about NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO has grown and prospered since its founding in 1949. Yet the United States has not underwritten most of the expense. As a matter of fact, European members have paid for 85% of the total cost, have supplied 60% of the equipment and supplies used by NATO forces, and they have provided the major share of its manpower. NATO is a voluntary association of sovereign states, each bearing its fair share of the burden. We can all be proud of NATO and grateful for it, too. For NATO is guarding your freedom.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.